This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, Santa did not appear at New York's Battle of the Beards this year, but a 99% beard made its debut at the Whisker Fest. And food writer J.M. Hirsch picks the best cookbooks of the year and bids good riddance to some 2011 food trends. But first, space, the final frontier. An immense void populated by our imaginations and, as far as we know, not much else. Since the space shuttle program made its last journey this summer, there have been few newsworthy developments in space exploration until now. Here to share some big news is freelance science journalist Lee Billings. He's working on a book about the intergalactic search for Earth-like planets and joins us now on Word of Mouth. Lee, great to have you back on the program.
Oh, thanks for having me as always, Virginia.
Well, given your book topic, this is your kind of story. Earlier this month, scientists confirmed the existence of a so-called Earth twin. Now, what does that mean?
Well, it's a planet called Kepler-22b, and it basically means that this planet is in the habitable zone of its star where liquid water can exist. And most importantly, it appears to be more or less the right size where it might have a rocky surface and not just be a gas giant. It's about 2.4 times the size of Earth, which is still rather big, so it could be more of a mini Neptune than an Earth. But either way, it's in the habitable zone. It could have liquid water, and that's very exciting.
Right, and it's about 600 light years away, is that it?
That's right, 600.
It sounds astounding, but with the Kepler already reporting back about 2,000 planet sightings, will we be likely to hear more of these Earth sibling-like planets out there in habitable zones?
Absolutely. This is really just kind of a portent, a harbinger of great things to come. There's going to be a lot more coming in in coming days, not days, more weeks and months. Kepler's on a 3.5-year mission. I think it only has about a year left, a little less than a year. And by the end of it, they're probably going to have found several more of these, kind of larger than Earth planets that are in the habitable zones. But to really find something that's just as small as Earth around a sun-like star in an Earth-like orbit, they're probably going to need to extend the mission. And it seems like that's probably going to happen. There's a lot of public excitement and enthusiasm about about this mission. NASA seems to like it a lot, so it probably will get extended. And then, for another few years, it'll keep operating up there and finding progressively smaller and smaller objects, more and more like your own planet.
So tell us about Kepler. It's just basically a spacecraft, what, monitoring space?
Yeah, more or less. You can think of it kind of like a giant digital camera, really. The same kind of technology that drives the digital camera that you have in your hand or in your phone, it's called a charge-coupled device, a CCD. They basically have a very, very large array of CCDs out there, and they attach that to a light-amplifying telescope, and it just stares at one patch of sky that's kind of near the galactic plane where, there's a ton of stars to look at. And it just stares there, and it looks for these little tiny dimmings or diminutions in a star's light. And there's a lot of different false positives that could be causing that. But when they kind of run these various checks and balances on the data, they can pull out a lot of times that these small diminutions in light from a star are caused by a planet crossing over the star's face, kind of casting a shadow towards Kepler, towards Earth. So that's how we detect planets. That's how it detects planets. It's just a big eye in the sky.
So this is probably a very good moment for Kepler, sending back some results. I'm wondering what is driving space exploration nowadays. The space shuttle program has been shut down. The space race is now a Cold War relic. What's behind it now?
Well, you could make an argument that maybe they're shifting more towards pure science instead of just having, kind of meat in tin cans, so to speak. But I think this, federally funded, U.S.-funded space exploration, manned exploration, is kind of in a holding pattern, if you will. It's not really quite sure what's going on. There's no new rocket yet for astronauts to go up on. We're relying on the Russians. There's no clear mission other than just to, restock the International Space Station. Are we going to go to Mars? Are we going to go back to the Moon? There's talk of people going to asteroids, but this is all just talk until you have the hardware to actually do it. So we're kind of in a little bit of a limbo period, and perhaps in this time, maybe that's when things like Kepler and exciting discoveries of other things that are going on other planets in our own solar system can kind of step in to fill the gap.
Well, I know Russia's also setting its sights elsewhere. Russian space program recently put the kibosh on a prospective manned mission to Mars, now setting its sights on what may be more feasible landings on asteroids. asteroids. Is an asteroid mission a stepping stone toward Mars, or just economically less offensive alternative?
Well, it's both. Space travel is very expensive, and so much of that expense can kind of come down to two things. There's just the need to ensure that everything runs smoothly and safely for human passengers. You have to, double and triple check things and get backups to your backups and backups to those backups, and that redundancy costs a lot of money. But the other thing, just across the board, whether it's human or unmanned robotic stuff, is fuel and just how much it costs to get out of the gravity well, the pull of the planet. And asteroids have a much weaker pull, so you don't need to essentially lock as much fuel, take as much fuel up, and that's cheaper. So asteroids can make a lot of sense as kind of intermediate stepping stones, if you will, on a path, back to the moon or back to Mars or really wherever. And that's what's great, is they offer flexibility. You can have one set of hardware that can do a lot of different things if you design it to go to asteroids.
All right, just changing tacks here. Roger, one of our Facebook community, sent us a link to a video that's since gone quite viral of what appears to be an alien spacecraft drifting not far from the planet Mercury. Have you seen it?
Oh, boy. yeah, I did. And actually,
well, what do you make of it?
It was very interesting at first. You look at it, and it's this kind of oblong structure. It looks kind of like two tubes stuck together. And it looks really interesting. It looks very kind of compelling. But, of course, as always with these things, it seems those darn scientists have a good explanation for what it is. It's not an alien spacecraft. What's important to realize is that the spacecraft that gave this image is called Stereo. And it's meant to look at the sun and deliver these images of things that are called coronal mass ejections, just big, flares and clouds that come up off the sun. And those are pretty hard to see, actually, normally. You need to really enhance the contrast to see these things quite well. And so what they do when they're processing these images, the scientists will actually go through and they'll kind of average out over a day or two some images together to basically enhance the contrast so you can more easily see these coronal mass ejections. And Mercury basically got in the way in one of these images, and since they're averaging over two images, you see basically what's the shadow of Mercury or kind of an afterimage of Mercury from one day to the next, and that's essentially what's giving you that effect. But I have to admit, though, it does look kind of like a Vulcan spacecraft decloaking, but it doesn't seem to be that. I wish it was. I have a lot more to write about.
The scientists shoot it down again. Lee, it's a pleasure having you back on the show.
Thanks so much, Virginia.
Lee Billings, freelance science journalist, now working on a book about the celestial search for Earth-like planets.